So good morning.
Good morning.
So today we return to the tools. Part 56, so this has gone on, I know, for quite a couple years now, but tool number 60, hate the urgings of self-will. Or as Terence Cardon puts it in his translation, hate your own will. Voluntatem propriam odire. Well, I think if you're like me, you will agree that the word hate, that's a strong word, at least in English. And it's very rare to find it in the Rule of Saint Benedict, but we do find it in three places. But I found in the index, at least for Luke Deisinger's translation, the Benedictine of Valiermo, St. Andrew's Abbey, east of Los Angeles, doesn't even list the word in either English or Latin in the index. I guess he just wants to avoid it. I don't know. I mean, it's hard telling. But odire, as I say, is used in three places in the Rule of Benedict. Here, of course, in tool number 60, and in five tools down the road here, tool 65, we're going to read, hate no one, you know. And then finally, we just heard it today in the reading from the chapter 64 of the Rule, where we heard it yesterday. The abbot is to hate vices, but to love the brothers. So what is it then that Saint Benedict has we monks hating? Well, we hate the urgings of self-will because we want to be obedient to Christ. Because self-will is what separated us at the very beginning from God. In other words, the story we find in Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve. We hate the urgings of self-will because in 2:46 we said we yearn for everlasting life with holy desire. We hate self-will because you and I yearn for intimacy with Christ. So much of what we heard this past week with Sister Grace and her conferences with St. Bernard, but so typical of all our Cistercian theology. And we hate, finally, the urgings of self-will because there's no happiness to be found in self-will, only endless misery. But as we also know, once we live in that misery, it can be the source of moving away from it. And we hope that that is the case for everyone. But anyway, self-will. Step number one of humility addresses and speaks about self-will. Beginning with verse 19, Saint Benedict says, we are forbidden to do our own will. And then that's followed by a quote from Sirach 18, verse 30, where it reads, turn away from your desires. So Saint Benedict interprets these desires as our own will or self-will. Furthermore, in verse 20, St. Benedict reminds us that in the Lord's Prayer, we ask God that His will be done in us. We don't pray that, may my will be done in me, O Lord. Verse 21 of the first step of humility St. Benedict says, we are rightly taught not to do our own will. And then he quotes Proverbs 16:25, which says, there are ways which people call right that in the end plunge into the depths of hell. And then he quotes verse 22, which is actually a quote from Psalm 14, verse 1. People are corrupt and have become depraved in their desires. In verse 23, God is always with us, even in the desires of the body, which actually is also a quote from Psalm 38. Verse 24, we must be on guard against any base desire, because death is stationed near the gateway of pleasure. And finally, in verse 25, as this is all the first step of humility, he quotes again from Sirach 18, and he just says, pursue not your lusts. So here, self-will is equated with lust and with desire and with corruption and depravity. But also in chapter 33, called Monks and Private Ownership, St. Benedict says in verse 4, that monks do not have the free disposal even of their own bodies and wills. That's a very powerful statement. Remember when I was first introduced to that, I was an observer at the then, well, it may have been a postulant, but anyway, it was very, very early on. And that was Father Paul Jerome. And I thought, ooh, this is strong stuff. We do not have the free disposal of our own bodies and wills, and yet how we often fight against that, to cling to our own wills in so many subtle ways, which is, I suppose, why we speak of our monastic journey as a lifelong process. But in the gospel, I mean, the rule is simply reflecting the gospel. In John 4, my food is to do the will of the Father. In John 6, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And we know the famous struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane that St. Luke gives us. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done. So if you struggle with your self-will, if I struggle with my self-will, hopefully we take some consolation, because Jesus struggled with his will, or with self-will, on his human dimension. And having read during Lent the meditations and reflections of Armand Jean de Rancet, the abbot of La Trappe in the 17th century, he says this in Reflection 257, we can never avoid doing the will of God. We can never avoid doing the will of God. So, you know, God's grace somehow makes it all possible. But it is not enough, he says, just to do his will. We must also wish to do it. Despite themselves, the demons do his will, but they certainly do not want to. So it's not enough to do God's will. We must also wish to do it. That's where the struggle comes in. Because there's times where I don't think, if we're really honest, we really want to do this or want to do that. And when we do it, and of course St. Benedict at another point says, God loves a cheerful giver, quoting St. Paul. So it is a challenge. But what are the dynamics of self-will that they should exist within us? Well, at one level, it's to maintain control. At least I think it's maintaining control of my own life. In other words, to live from my advantage, my convenience, my gratification, and totally impervious to the needs of others, what we call individualism. Now, that's not to say, again, St. Benedict says there are valid needs of a monk, but that's worked out in discernment with the spiritual father. So there, that's, you know, let's not, you know, that's, we recognize there's something that I just need. If it's a certain medication, then I need to take that medication, etc. But there is a distinction, as I think we're already familiar, between false will and, or the false self and the true self. That false self really is something more on the surface, we call it superficial, and more external in one sense. It's as St. James says in his first chapter, this false self is like a wave on the sea, blown by the wind and tossed about. So I'm constantly running after this or that, which will never give me happiness, certainly not give me any peace, but I keep going after this trend or that, you know, thing. So false desires. There's no stable identity with the false self. It's constantly changing in response to outside influences. Thinking that outward gratification, if I can just have more ice cream, I will be happy. And of course, that's a consumer society's messaging and branding. I can just, if you have this, and you look at the advertisements, you know, your life is going to be fulfilled, and you're going to be happy. If I can just have this or that, you know, and because it goes to the extremes and substance abuse, if I can just have one more drink, I'll calm down. You know, and that's the tragedy, because one more drink is not going to calm me down. you know, maybe a good shot of brandy on a rare occasion. But at any rate, but the true self, you know, and we can go on and on and on about the differences, but we don't have time. But it's the deepest sense of who I am in my inner life, in the heart, where the Spirit is speaking and praying within me, and it's rooted in true stability. And we have to be willing to be nailed, crucified with Christ on the cross, because that keeps us from wandering about. And that's the deepest meaning of our vow of stability. Again, it maybe sounds a little brutal or harsh, but it's radical. It is radical And you and I have been called to live the radicality of the gospel. And God will provide the grace for us. So we shouldn't be surprised when these things happen. And as St. Paul puts it, this is the battle, this is the dilemma that he speaks about in Romans chapter 7. I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. Miserable one that I am. There's the misery. Who will deliver me from this mortal body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in other words, hating self-will, as St. Benedict puts it, is to reject this restlessness, the ceaseless curiosity to make myself the center of the universe, the center of everything. It's to hate self-will is to remove the itch of my undefined cupidity, and that's what it is. You know, I'm not really too, it's all very fuzzy. I think I say, well, this is what I want, or this is what I need. And yet, I discover, no, that's not what it is. You know, so it's this restlessness, this ceaseless curiosity that threatens to block my view and access to the reality of who I am, God's image and likeness, into the reality of how I am to live, you know, my life. Hating self-will is to allow myself to remove the false mask, the persona behind which I hide. And I hide because I'm very insecure of being discovered, quote-unquote, by others. It's the fear of my own vulnerability. It's the pain I experience from the wounds in my life, whatever those wounds are and whatever has caused them. To hate self-will is to stop living the lies I have told myself, to stop doing the false things that feed my ego, to stop living in delusion, in fantasy, of creating the world in my own image and likeness. In other words, it's just idolatry. So to hate self-will is to destroy that. And to embrace the true self is to embrace the common will, that key word in our Cistercian theology of embracing the will of God, the work of the Spirit, through the common life and all that that entails, its agreements, its practices, etc. And St. Ealdred, in his sermon for the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, says this about that, about the common will. The total perfection of the monk is in giving up his own will. The principal demand of monastic life is this renunciation of self-will. And finally, to hate the self-will, or the false self, is less about suppressing and more about ordering love. And we know that from the gospel. In this case from Mark, I quote, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. The one who saves it is the one who loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. Hate the urgings of self-will.